Welcome to the Lean Solutions Podcast, where we discuss business solutions to help listeners develop and implement action plans for true lean process improvement. I am your host, Patrick Adams. Hello and welcome to the Lean Solutions Podcast. My guest today is Tanya Stinson. Tanya is the founder of Leaning Towards Change, LLC. Tanya is an experienced leader in the healthcare industry where she is responsible for performance improvement, quality, risk, patient safety, and compliance. She serves as a mentor and a coach to physicians, nurses, and other clinical and non-clinical staff in utilizing the Lean and Six Sigma methodology. Also, this is Tanya's second time back to the show. We had an amazing conversation back in season one, so I'm excited to have you back. Welcome to the show, Tanya.
Thanks, Patrick. Glad to be back.
Yes, so it's been a while since we've talked, so I'm excited to catch up and just kind of hear a little bit about what you've been up to lately. And then I have some really good questions to dive into, specifically talking about the healthcare industry. It's always good because, as you know, a lot of people, when they think about lean, they tie it to manufacturing specifically. And as we both know, Lean and Six Sigma methodology can be utilized in any industry at any time. And so it'll be great to kind of dive into the healthcare industry and see how things are being utilized there. So tell us just a little bit. I mean, what's been going on with you in the last year? What's happened on your side of the of things?
Oh, just, you know, really ramping up, leaning towards change. You know, it's growing organically, which is great. Not having to do a whole lot of promoting myself, just growing by, you know, word of mouth and things like that, which it's exciting to hear, especially from a healthcare perspective, to know that when you actually are making positive changes for actual people, you know, living, breathing people every day, it's exciting to hear how PI is growing from a healthcare perspective, because, you know, generally back when in the 80s and 90s and then into the 2000s, it was more so you heard about lean in manufacturing, but not so much in healthcare. But to know that it's growing continuously and you know, we're spreading that PI culture more and more in healthcare every day, I think that's the most exciting thing to hear is, you know, we're getting there slowly but surely. So I'm happy about that.
Absolutely. And I don't want to take away from anyone that's listening in that's in, you know, manufacturing industry or, you know, where you're developing, building any kind of product. But I mean, your product in the healthcare industry is people. It's lives.
That is right. It's human lives.
And so it is a little bit different, right? And the you know, from a process improvement perspective or a lean perspective, the tools are literally saving lives. And so
that's right.
It's an amazing place to be in, I'm sure, for you.
You know, that's one thing that it's so, you know, you can, just like you said, you can implement change, and it, especially using the Lean Six Sigma methodology, it's been around, you know, lean has been around since traditionally the late 1800s. Mm-hmm. And to know that it's been around that long, and you know, Henry Ford used it to help with his product line of pushing out Ford vehicles and things like that, which a lot of people that know lean know that. But to right. know that we've gotten into the era that we're in where patient experience and improving, you know, the patient, improving patient experience is all the more important because of a lot of the government changes that we have where, it, you know, that's really what it's about is it's the voice of the customer for the patient. So to know that that focus is ever more important these days than, you know, than I believe it's ever been, you know, knowing that healthcare, you know, lean in healthcare is just, like I said, the growing the culture in healthcare is just, it's fascinating to see some of the changes that we're making these days compared to years ago.
Right, so. Right. I'm sure it's a great place to be. And you talked about patient experience and, you know, we've talked about patient safety. But the other thing that I think is important that that needs to be taken into consideration in the healthcare industry is cost as well. You know, obviously we can talk for, you know, hours about safety and experience, right? But I also don't want to lose the you know, any a focus that on cost too, because it does cost a lot to, you know, provide services from a healthcare perspective. What would you say are, you know, a few of the most costly wastes when it comes to, you know, healthcare? What are some of the things that we should be focused on from a cost perspective, or at least aware of?
So according to an article that I read recently and from fiercehealthcare.com, It really concludes that we have about $750 billion a year in waste. And so from a healthcare perspective, that's pretty eye-opening. But to know that a lot of these wastes are some really relatively simplistic waste. So like where you have a lot of forms and things like that. So from a billing perspective, we have a lot of forms and paperwork and things like that that are non-standardized. And sure. So when you think about those types of waste where it's very simplistic for us to make the changes, you know, to me, that's an issue. When, you know, that's one thing that we say from a healthcare industry is that we need standardized forms and procedures to help get rid of a lot of those complex and time-consuming billing waste. And, you know, it says that in this article that about 30% of every healthcare dollar goes toward paperwork and administrative tasks. And that, so when you think about that from a standardized work perspective, which, you know, from the last time that I was on your podcast, I eat, sleep, and breathe standardized work. And so knowing that that is an issue that we have that can be, if we just walk that process out, to know that that can be changed to eliminate a lot of those types of waste, that, you know, that would be, I guess you could say, for the people that are doing the work, would essentially save them a large amount of time. And to know that a lot of the things that we do these days are still so much paper-based, whereas if we get into something where we could do a lot of these processes electronically, then I think we would also be saving a lot of time and money that way too.
Sure, sure. Now, are you seeing in the healthcare industry, are you seeing a lot of places that are turning towards, you know, automated solutions for, you know, those types of things? Or are there other solutions out there that are being utilized in the healthcare industry to help reduce those types of costly waste when it comes to overprocessing from an administrative perspective?
So, well, you know, of course, we have the electronic health, you know, healthcare record and things like that, where a lot of things are transferred from, you know, traditionally what, you know, back in the 80s and 90s were more so if things were paper-based then, to know now that we've gotten into everything's more electronic. So the healthcare record is electronic and things like that. But we still have a lot of these healthcare organizations, like I said, that are very much when you come in, you fill out all these forms. So instead of filling them out electronically, and the thing about it is even for some of the electronic forms, you're still filling out the same things over and over, just in a different format or a different way. And so it's really about trying to look at those to see what is it we can document one time that could potentially copy over to some of these other forms and, you know, areas as part of the record, you know, so it eliminates a lot of that duplication of work. And I think that's where a lot of it comes down to, this waste, because it really goes down to time, right? Because we waste a lot of time duplicating our efforts a lot of times.
Yeah.
And if we could just, you know, simplify it, make it to where you process that information one time, it populates where it needs to go. And then it, you know, eliminates a lot of that duplication of work.
Sure. Yeah, no, I love that example. And obviously, you know, a huge waste to have to do that. And I remember, you know, doing that exact same thing where I'd fill out one form and then be like, man, and now they're asking me the questions that I just filled out on the form. That's kind of weird. It's like duplication over and over again. So I appreciate that you brought that example up. I just think about here in my hometown, they just opened up a new healthcare facility. And I'm sad to say I actually was injured in a snowmobile accident. Probably it's been now 4 or 5 weeks now, but I had to go in there and get some X-rays and some different things done. And the really cool thing about this new healthcare facility, now this is not a by any means an automation solution or anything like that. It's a very simple, low cost improvement that I feel was done. And I know a lot of healthcare places are going this type of route. But anyways, I walked in, and in the past you had to sit in the waiting room and basically wait for someone to come out and call you in. And then, you know, a nurse would come, they would call you in, the nurse would walk you through the hallways, they'd bring you over to get your vitals and wait and all that type of stuff. Then they would bring you to the room and then they would check you in. The thing that I experienced there that I thought was really interesting was I checked in at the front desk and they literally gave me a laminated yellow square and they said, follow the yellow squares, to room 2 or something like that. I don't remember exactly what room number it was, but I turned around and literally there's like a blue triangle. There's an orange circle, and then there's a yellow square. And so I'm like, okay, that's where I have to go. So I walk over there, open the door. I walk down the hallway to the next yellow square, and I turn the hallway, and literally there's another yellow square. And so I'm just following the yellow squares through until I get to my room. And it was like, I didn't like, this is a simple solution, but like, I literally didn't need anybody to, I didn't have to wait on anybody. I didn't have to have somebody walk me through the hallways to get me to my room, right? It, a simple task like that, that utilized a very low cost, simple solution to reduce cost, the cost of someone having to be there to walk me through. So again, just I thought I would share that as a very simple solution that I experienced myself personally in the healthcare industry.
You know, it's great that you bring that up, because that's another thing that I think would eliminate time and essentially patients walking into a hospital and getting lost, is if we were to implement something as simplistic as wayfinding maps, just like you talked about. If we were to have something like that, it eliminates that patient, you know, even sometimes being late for their appointment, because first of all, they've never been to a facility before. Maybe, you know, they're probably not going to go to the facility just to walk it out before they get there for their procedure. And so if we had something like that, like a wayfinding map, where we could give it to this patient where they'll know exactly where they need to go without having to spend extra time to stop and ask somebody and then, you know, potentially get given the wrong directions. I mean, there's a lot of waste elimination in just the process that you just described. So that's great.
Absolutely. Yeah. It was a cool example. I need to get back in there so I can see if I can do a quick video and share it with everybody. But anyways, so let's kind of go back to what we were talking about with change in healthcare. So, you know, that was one example. You talked about the example in duplication of paperwork. In your experience, if there was one thing that you could change in healthcare right away, you know, maybe outside of the examples that we said, or I guess maybe if it does tie in with those, but what would be the one thing that you would say, this is something that has to change right now?
So I would say that one of the things that I've seen in just my years of working in PI and healthcare is communication. One thing that, you know, from a healthcare perspective, of course, me not being licensed as a healthcare provider, but knowing that I work with these workers every day, I think that's one thing that we see that's very eye-opening, is because, it's, you know, their sole focus is to take care of patients, right? So they don't have a lot of time to communicate to each other. So I think that's the one thing that I would say that I'd like to work on, is just get, you know, if they just communicate, bring them. And that's one thing that we see a lot of times when we're working on a lot of these PI initiatives and things, is when you bring them into a room together, because it goes back to that traditional, you know, lean methodology, where we always think it's something different than what it truly is until you actually talk about it, right? So they may think that somebody else is doing something, and realistically they're not. And then those people may think that they're doing something. And so it's kind of like, we always make assumptions, but it's that eye opening, you know, when you get together and that light bulb goes off to, oh, well, nobody's actually doing it then, because you thought I was doing it and I thought you were doing it. And so it's really about just getting them into a room to simply communicate about the process, to where they can determine where the breakdowns are. That eliminates a lot of the issues, just simply nobody was doing it. But it's not until you get them into a room to know that that's truly what's going on.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. And that's something even outside of the healthcare industry. I mean, I think every organization, you know, could use some improvement in that area from a communication perspective. You know, there's so many organizations that we work with where, you know, they have these kind of these walls, you know, in between departments or areas, and you know, the term is siloed. You know, these are siloed Absolutely. Organizations. In any organization that is, or I guess any department or team that's not, you know, willing to share, or maybe isn't open, or maybe it's not even something that they're doing intentionally, but because the system is set up that way, where, you know, they are kind of siloed in their own department, they don't really see or know what's happening downstream or upstream from their process. There can be some significant breakdowns in communication and best practice sharing and customer experience, you know, that can be obviously dampered, you know, in those types of organizations. Do you feel like the healthcare organizations that you're working in or that you have experience with, do you feel like there's some silos that are happening, you know, to break down some of that communication?
I think it goes back to what you had said too, Patrick. I don't think it's just so much as healthcare, but I think a lot of our business organizations are that way, just simply because it's very transactional. Once one person or one area gets done with the process, it's time to pass that on to another person or our area business is, you know, as part of this overall process flow. But I think it just goes back to that communication, you know, lack thereof that we were talking about. When I talk to my people in my classes, one of the things that I tell them is I feel like that communication could be its own ninth waste by itself. So we have our eight wastes that we traditionally talk about, right? But I feel like communication is essentially the ninth waste that we have, just simply because, what, like I said, when you get people into a room to talk about, well, we think you're doing this. Oh, well, no, we thought you were doing that. So that's where the breakdown is. So, and like you said, that could actually happen in any business where, you know, whether it's healthcare or other organizations where it's just somebody thinks somebody is doing something in all reality, it's just not happening because we just don't communicate to each other. Right. And to say that, yes, I feel like that it's not just healthcare that's siloed, but pretty much every organization is siloed because we don't take the time to really stop and communicate like that, where we have everybody, you know, from mining and manufacturing to utilities to even healthcare, where we pull everybody into a room where it's all part of one essential process flow to talk about where those gaps are in communication. And so to know that a lot of the projects, which I'm sure you've probably seen this too, are very, they're scoped out where the issues occur at the time. And so there's not really an overall, let's just say from the time that a patient walks into the ER to the time that they're discharged. There could be all kinds of issues as part of that process flow, but because we may not get that larger group together because we want to be specific about improvements we want to make in one area or another, mm-hmm. then there may be other issues that happen outside of that where it's essentially a waterfall effect where if there's things that happen in one area, they don't necessarily know how that positively or negatively affects like another step in the process at before or after that, because they just don't communicate with each other about those types of things.
Right. Yeah. And again, like you said, that happens in not just in healthcare. I mean, I've worked with many organizations where, you know, one department does the work that they feel they need to do to the product or service as it's coming through the value stream. And then it's kind of like throw it over the wall to the next person and hope that they're good to go, and then take on That's your right. next unit of work and do what you have to do and then throw it over the wall. And then here's the next person downstream who's receiving it coming over the wall. And they're like, oh my goodness. And you know, now I'm spinning my wheels or I'm duplicating my efforts or all these different things. And I just think about, we just did a value stream mapping event with an organization in Chicago, and walking the value stream, you have people that are the kind of the downstream people who are receiving the product, and then, you know, some other people in different areas. As they all get together, like you said, and then they walk the value stream together, you start hearing these conversations that are happening like, that's important to you? I didn't even realize that. Or, yep. Oh, I didn't know that how my work affected you. And some of that stuff starts to come out. And that's the value that you have in really kind of stepping back and looking at the big picture versus only right. being focused in that, you know, that small silo within your particular area.
And so, I think that's where, you know, communication is ever more important and ever more vigilant when you have those conversations like that, because there may be essential improvements that we make just from simple communication, you know, where we don't realize that because we are siloed and making those improvements in one department or one specific area, we don't look at the overall to say, is this really causing a breakdown before or after? And so it's not till you get those people into the room together to say, oh, well, you know, I didn't really realize this was going to give you an extra 10 minutes of processing time if I do this, even though it may make it better for that specific department or that specific area. You don't necessarily know what it's going to do as a result of that to other, you know, impact other areas. So, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hey everyone, this is Patrick. So sorry to interrupt this episode of the Lean Solutions podcast, but I felt it necessary to take a quick moment and personally invite you to the Lean Solutions Summit on October 2nd through the 4th this fall, 2023. The theme of this year's global summit is leadership, people, purpose, passion. You do not want to miss this amazing experience with the top process improvement experts from your industry. No matter what industry you're working in, this summit has value for you. The summit offers four different industry tracks to include healthcare, corporate, higher education and nonprofit, and finally, government. Our opening keynote is Chris McChesney, the lead author of the number one Wall Street Journal best-selling business book, The Four Disciplines of Execution. The Ops Sisters, Kathy Miller and Shannon Carrolls, the authors of Steel Toes and Stilettos, will be joining us, as well as yours truly and over 20 other speakers. The final day of the summit is full of workshops, and there are limited seats for a tour of Menlo Innovations with Richard Sheridan and Zingerman's Mail Order with Dr. Jeff Leiker, author of The Toyota Way. Early bird pricing is now available at findleansolutions.com/summit-2023, or you can check the show notes for a link. Now, back to the show.
I'm guessing there are some people listening in who say, oh yeah, I can see that would be a solution to get everybody in one room, you know, maybe go walk the value stream together, have an open discussion about things that are happening. Okay, that might help. Do you have any recommendations on other things that could help break down the walls of, you know, a siloed organization or an organization that has, that's feeling like that, you know, there's a breakdown in communication? What are some other things that people can do to help kind of break down those barriers of communication?
Well, you know, I talked about getting everybody into a room to talk about a process, but I think one of the things that you had talked about is something that would make it more eye-opening than ever is to really go Gemba, like actually have the entire team walk the process out together. And then as they're walking out this process together, have some of the people that are doing the work explain how their processes could potentially impact these other areas, you know, above, you know, like downstream from where they work, and even, you know, before they get, it gets to their area. That's the thing also that needs to be done. So you're not only mapping out the process in its current state, but you walk it out too, because sometimes whenever you get into a room, there may be vital steps that you may forget just simply because you're not there doing that, you know, at the time. There may be some very important steps that are, you know, it's not that you forget intentionally, it's just you're not doing it in its current state. So I think, you know, going back to walk it out and just have people observe through the entire process flow, but yeah, make it to where it, and this is the reason why I think PI people coming from the inside out that don't know those processes, because people like us will ask questions that generally people that do the work all the time may not ask, right? And so maybe it's about having somebody that doesn't necessarily know the process in its perfect state, and maybe it's not the one that does the work every day, to go back and so that way I ask those questions. Well, is this really what this person, like, is this what current state looks like? Is this really what they're supposed to be doing? Because mm-hmm. I think that's another thing that we see. And simply it's just walking it out, because from person to person, you may see minor changes that they complete. And that's when you question, okay, well, I saw Mr. Jones doing it this way, but then I saw Mr. Smith doing it another way. So what's the real, you know, what's the right way to do this? You know, because they both do it differently. And I think that's where it goes back to standardized work, because what's the best way to do it? What's the most efficient way? What's the safest way? You know, yeah, and all of that, because you don't necessarily see that until you actually get into walking it out, you know, and see that in real life. So
that's right. So true. Yeah, I love that recommendation of going to the Gemba, even outside of your Gemba, going to someone else's Gemba, going downstream, going upstream. Really having an awareness of what's happening before and after your department or the work that, you know, the part of the work that you're doing. Having awareness is one step, whether that means you walk the entire value stream or you just know what's upstream and downstream from yourself, and have an awareness of, you know, how your work is affecting other people. I think that's one part. And then the other thing that I kind of heard as you were talking is empathy, is understanding not only what's happening, but how it affects those people around you, and can, you know, really putting yourself in their shoes and thinking about, okay, what can I do with the control that I have and the work that I have to ensure that the work that I'm doing is going to set the next person up for success? Or
that's right. You know, absolutely. And I think that's where, you know, even at, when you know, since this is all about healthcare, and when you think about that from a healthcare perspective, could you imagine the value when it comes to a lot of these nurses and physicians and things, and all the burnout that, you know, that we're experiencing these days, to know that we have an empathetic ear, like you talked about, somebody to actually walk this process out from a different perspective, to say, while this is truly what's going on, you know, what can we do to improve this? To, it's not just about the patient experience, but it's about the experience for the people doing the work. And so I think that's where, it's so much more valuable because you can walk that out and experience what they're experiencing, see what they're seeing, feel what they're feeling, and you know that, you know, this may be some of the reasons that some of these employees may get burnt out, because there's a lot of people that truly don't know the process that, you know, of what's going on with these physicians and nurses, and it's not just physicians and nurses, clinical and non-clinical staff that work along with these physicians and nurses, to know that, you know, there is such a shortage of staff in the health, and it's not just in healthcare. I'll say that we have a staff shortages in other business areas and things too. But I think that's where it's just walking along and seeing what they see, feeling what they feel, and having that different perspective. Because, you know, as an executive, you know, a lot of executives work in areas and they may not ever step out and walk that process, so they don't truly know. And sure. I think that's where just putting yourself in their shoes, and that's what it's about, putting yourself in someone else's shoes and walking that and feeling what they feel, to know how we could potentially positively impact that process for them, I think would be life-changing for a lot of people.
Absolutely. One of the things that you mentioned, I don't want to just brush over this, because I think this is such an important concept. You mentioned executive leaders who haven't gone to the Gemba or don't know what's going on. And these are the individuals who are making decisions for the people, you know, sometimes making decisions for the company. So though it's even more important for those people to be out at the Gemba, to be walking Absolutely. The values, to understand every step of the process, so that they're making decisions that are not only valuable for the end customer or for the, you know, the customer experience, but also for the people that are working within each of those areas. You know, you talked about burnout happening in the healthcare industry, and you know, how much more important is it for those decision makers to really, you know, have empathy and understanding and awareness of what's happening within, you know, each of their departments and teams, and why some of that's happening, breakdown in communication, silos, you know, whatever it might be, you know, just such an important concept. So thank you for bringing that up. Tanya, do you think that, we talked a little earlier about technology and when it comes to, you know, some of the over-processing or duplication of efforts that's happening. Do you think that technology, you know, can help with any of the issues that are impacting patients in healthcare today? Do you think there's other technology coming down the pipe? Is there things that, you know, hospitals are utilizing or healthcare in general that you think would benefit in some of these issues that we're talking about?
So yes, I do. You know, in fact, even when we talked about the electronic paperwork and things like that, when you have to fill a lot of that, I think that, you know, we have some great systems in place. It's just really looking to see what is it that's essentially duplicated, so we can see what we can do to better process that information to where it saves time and it's more efficient for not just the people doing it. So like the patients that have to come in and they're in pain and they have to fill out all this paperwork, right? So making it more efficient for them, but also making it more efficient for the workers. So as they're, you know, as they're having to go through and look at all this information, it's, you know, it's automatically populating itself to where, you know, it's going to be the same, you know, the same incorrect, because that's another thing too that you see is a lot of times you'll see different names or, you know, different information that may essentially may be the same person, but they've copied over, you know, a different number or something to where it's hard to populate this patient's record. And so just ensuring that if we could get the same consistent information and eliminate a lot of that duplication, like I said, I think that would be great. Yes. And then, you know, as we go forward into the future, of course, we've got artificial intelligence that will really help out, you know, a lot in the healthcare world. I mean, you see it more so these days than ever, where we have a virtual care and things like that. So even if you can't walk the process out in person, if you could essentially walk along and go Gemba virtually, you know, and walk that process out virtually to where you can see it, even though you're not physically there, I think would be great. And then, you know, just when I talked about virtual care, as far as the patient's concerned, you may not be able to go in and physically be there with that patient, but to know that we've got technology these days that can help with that. And even like these wearable devices and things like that we have these days that, you know, send reminders for when patients have to go to the physician's office, or they have reminders, hey, Mr. Jones, you know, you've got a doctor's appointment today at 8:00. Is there anything that you know, just having the things that we have these days that we didn't have even 20 years ago, I think is awesome. but to continuously use those and improve on those types of things to where, you know, as we move forward into the future, those can be leveraged from a healthcare perspective more so than they are today, I think would be awesome for people and, you know, all across the world.
Absolutely.
Because there's a lot of countries these days where we can't get to them because, you know, of different circumstances, but to know that that we could use this kind of technology to even help those patients would be great.
Absolutely. Yeah, it makes me think again about another example that we had in within our family, you know, just a couple weeks ago. It's been 3-4 weeks now, but my son actually had heart surgery, which is scary for our family. But the cool thing about that whole situation was, you know, that we were actually at my daughter's basketball game, and my son had his cell phone, and he was waiting for a text message from the heart surgeon. And he got a text message. It was towards the end of my daughter's basketball game. He got a text message that said, "Hey, we're ready for the consultation." And so him and I stepped out into the hallway and literally brought up the virtual meeting with the heart surgeon at this school at my daughter's basketball game. And my son went through, and the surgeon walked him through everything that was going to happen and talked about, you know, all the what he could expect and answered all of his questions and even played a video for us, you know, showing us exactly what was going to happen. And then we finished the virtual call and it was done. And we went back into the gymnasium. But I just think about, you know, in the past, that would not have been possible, and how technology has allowed us to provide these types of solutions to, you know, problems or issues. You know, I just think about we would have had to schedule that, you know, we'd have to take off of school or work or whatever it is. It would have been, you know, this long, exhaustive process when it took him, you know, we were on there for probably 20, 30 minutes and didn't have to leave where we were at. You know, that's just another example of how technology is providing solutions to problems that we've dealt with for years. So many good.
And to know that back in the day, you would have had to have left that basketball game to go to the physician's office to have that consultation in person, to know that it saved you that time and effort. That's awesome. But, you know, know even from a surgical perspective, to know that we have so that surgery has advanced, you know, so much these days to where there's more so of robotic surgeries and things like that, to where there's a less downtime. You know, there's the procedures don't take as time, you know, as long to perform. You know, you don't have to have a lot of, I guess you could say like the, you know, when you have the procedure, you don't have to have the size of incisions you used to have back in the day, whenever like you'd used to have an open heart surgery, you know, to know that now that all they have to do is make a couple of holes compared to the way they used to. And, you know, it's just the technology and the way that technology has improved it for us. And to know that we're getting more so into that, you know, advanced healthcare space where AI is going to help us more and more these days than ever before. I think that's going to be just, you know, it's going to set us a lot years ahead in healthcare where healthcare is concerned. So
sure. So true. Now technology, obviously, cost involved there. You know, I gave the example earlier of the laminated yellow square, very low cost, simple solution, amazing improvement. But what do you think is an improvement in healthcare that could cost nothing to implement? If someone was listening in and they're like, "Hey, you know, I don't have approval. I don't have a budget, or I got to wait for that to be approved." What are some things that maybe cost nothing to implement?
So I think it goes back to what we talked about earlier with communication. I think if you just get everybody in the room to start talking about what those processes are and how they essentially positively or negatively impact, you know, people at the start of a process, you know, so it's really about looking at a process scope and looking at it holistically, you know, as far as like not breaking it down per department or not breaking it down per one essential small process, but looking at it overall and then talking about that process from a larger scope. Okay, so how is it the things that I do, how are they negatively impacting your department? And so I think that's where, when you get people in a room to conversate, it doesn't cost anything to do that. And so you'd be amazed about the improvements that come out of just simple conversation. So, sure. You know, I'm very passionate about trying, and that's one thing that I do. My classes are very conversational And so it's not just about me talking to the people in my courses about, okay, here's what the wastes are and things like that. So I ask them, what are some examples from your perspective of things that you have seen? And it's just crazy because the conversations are always different. Everybody comes there. Every course has a different example or of something that's happened or, you know, something that they've experienced. And it's not just in healthcare. I'm talking about, you know, we even talk about like when you go to a restaurant, what are some of the wastes that you see at a restaurant? Like you've made this reservation at this restaurant and, you know, you come in and you're still having to wait 30 minutes to get a table, even though you made a reservation. And then, you know, then when you get sit down at your table, you order a steak and you want it medium well, but it comes back and it's rare. And so it's about, okay, so what happens then? Like, would you be willing to pay for that type of service, right? So, because, you know, by the time you get your steak back and it's cooked the way you want it, then your other sides are cold. And so it's like, realistically, would you pay for everything else that you had on your plate? Like, you know, and then to know that these days, it's almost kind of embarrassing for you to have to bring it up and complain, because it's like, man, this is a 5-star restaurant. You know, you've paid for this service. You've heard about how great this restaurant is. And then to know that it gets back to, well, I don't know for sure if I'd ever want to come back. I've heard so many great things about this place, but, you know, I'm not for sure if I'll ever want to come back here. And it's just crazy because you hear all these great things and it's like, how many people kind of overlook some of the bad service they get just because they're like, oh, well, it's going to get better the next time. Mm-hmm. But I mean, realistically, what if it doesn't? But you have, you know, it's just that type of thing where, you know, it's consistent. But do we ever track and trend those types of things? No, I mean, because that's some things that we never take the time to do. And I think that's the same way, just, you know, it's in the same way in healthcare, the same way in manufacturing. You know, when we look at risk and compliance, especially when, you know, small things happen every day, because you hear of it so much in healthcare, but like, you know, a lost specimen or a mislabeled specimen or, you know, something like that, where these things, types of things happen every day, but because we're so focused on taking care of the patient, we don't track and trend those types of issues because we're so busy trying to get the patient from one step to the next step in the process where, you know, those are things we'll overlook because we think, oh, well, it's insignificant. It's not important for us to track. But in all reality, how many times do you think that may happen every day before we say, oh, or somebody questions it to say, well, do we realistically track that and trend that, or should we, you know, do we need to do that? So, and I think that's where walking that process out and start asking those questions to people that, you know, maybe do the work every day. Well, do you see this all the time? Oh, yeah, you know, but okay, well, then maybe we need to start tracking that to determine, you know, is this really an issue that is bigger than what we think it is, just simply because, you know, it's just something that what happens naturally every day, right? If that makes sense.
It does. Yeah. And allowing data to be our driver for decisions versus what we feel, you know, emotions or feelings, you know, may or may not provide the right answers or solutions, right? But data doesn't lie. So, you know, if you're tracking the right stuff and you're allowing data to really help drive those decisions, then, you know, the solutions are going to be much better than feelings or emotions driving those decisions. So that's a great recommendation for everyone that's listening in. And Tanya, obviously, you know, just like the last episode, I think you and I could go on forever. And we have to call it at some point. So I just want to kind of start to close us up here. And with that, I want to ask you if you could share, you know, leaning towards change. If anyone's interested, you know, where should they go? And what are some of the things that you provide through your company and the value that you have for maybe some of our listeners?
So Leading Towards Change, currently we teach and coach and certify. We have a white belt class, a yellow belt, and a green belt certification course. One of the things that we can do as well is just, you know, we can coach and outside of the courses, we can actually coach people in real time. So if people have a project that they feel like, you know, they don't have solutions for, we can actually coach them and how to walk that out and determine where the waste and inefficiencies are as part of those processes and help them to make improvements. So it's really not just coaching and, you know, teaching certification courses. You know, we can actually come along and consult and coach and things like that and help out with any kind of larger problems that have no solution. And that's one thing essentially that I tell people is, you know, a lot of times it's just natural for people to think of an automatic solution. But, you know, in all reality, is that the appropriate solution or the right solution that's going to get you that long term, you know, improvement or long term solution, so to speak, that you want? And so bring those to us and we can certainly help you out with those. Leaning Towards Change does have a website. It's www.leaningtowardschange.com. I have a 1-800 number. It's 888-DFW-LEAN. And so if anyone's interested in talking about any kind of current state issues that they have, not just in healthcare, because, you know, I've worked in mining and manufacturing utilities and then also in healthcare. So I have a lot of experience in working with, you know, initiatives outside of healthcare as well. So any kind of issues that they have, all they have to do is call us up and we'd be happy to consult with them about it.
Perfect. Well, thank you again. It was great to have you back on the show, Tanya. Always a pleasure to, you know, have you and just the amount of value that you pour out. Again, not just for the healthcare listeners, but for, you know, anyone in any industry. So I just appreciate you coming back on and sharing and, you know, wish you the best with everything that's going on with Leaning Towards Change. And again, hope to have you back in the future for another great conversation.
Absolutely. I'm looking forward to it.
All right. Take care, Tanya.
You too.
Thanks so much for tuning in to this episode of the Lean Solutions Podcast. If you haven't done so already, please be sure to subscribe. This way you'll get updates as new episodes become available. If you feel so inclined, please give us a review. Thank you so much.